Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
We are hunters, anglers, riders, and sometimes chefs. Our passion for the outdoor lifestyle motivated the foundation of Harvesting Nature, which serves as a media outlet built to inspire and educate the outdoor expert and novice alike. Our podcast focuses on the technical side of cooking wild fish and game, while also incorporating adventures and lessons learned from our pursuit of wild meat. Join us on our journey of harvesting nature.
Hey everyone, welcome to Harvesting Nature's Wild Fish and Game Podcast. You got your host here, Justin Townsend, joined here with some very special guests who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. Then also have Will from the crew here sitting to my right.
What's up, guys?
As well. So today we are going to chat with a gentleman from Infinite Outdoors, and I'll give him a brief introduction, just like I said, but I'll give everyone a quick news update, sort of what's going on. So we went ahead and launched a new shirt over on the Harvesting Nature store, which you can take a peek at through the links in the show notes, and it's basically like kind of a camouflage American flag with the Harvesting Nature and some stencil lettering that says, "Find Your Wilderness," kind of one of our standard slogans. We're going to continue to use that as a donation point for veteran outdoor organizations. We'll probably choose a different organization each month and donate probably 40 to 50% of our proceeds from that shirt sale to those organizations, because we like to support those organizations that do good things in the world, especially in the worlds of veterans and active duty military. So there's that hot bit of news. Next up, if you've been tuning into our Adventures for Food podcast, it's really just a short, succinct storytelling session between one of our field staff riders or guest who's telling a good outdoor adventure story about their pursuit for food. So go scroll back in the episode list and you'll find that. Give it a listen. It's good to go. Other than that, Will and I have been chasing tarpon for the past couple days down here in the Florida Keys. So trying to get synced up and tuned in for that. But we've been battling the rain, the wind, and the weather. Will's three hookups, I'm no hookups. So we'll see how it goes. Tomorrow's a new day, I guess. Outside of that, Will, do you have any updates?
No, that's about it. I had to pull myself away from the water tonight to come and be on here. So I'm excited to be here with Infinite Outdoors and excited to hear what they have to say.
All right, great. Well, let's roll into that then. So today our guests are from Infinite Outdoors. As you know, it's a project that are helping hunters and anglers get more access and opportunities to the things we love, hunting and fishing, which is great. So we got Grant Stewart, Sam Seaton are the co-founders. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Harvesting Nature Wild Fishing Game Podcast. So, as discussed a little earlier, I'm going to ask you each to introduce yourself a little further and tell us some of your deepest, darkest, favorite wild game secrets. No, just kidding. You don't have to divulge that unless you really want to. So, I guess I'll go ahead. I'll start with Sam, with you.
All right, sounds good. My name's Sam Seaton. Like you said, I'm the founder and CEO of Infinite Outdoors. And literally all I eat is wild game. I don't think I've bought meat in a decade. But so my favorite one is probably, I mean, it's hard to beat a good pheasant jalapeno popper. That's about as good as it gets. But the next best thing that I ever had was a wildebeest in Africa, just cooked over a fire, just nothing special on it. Just straight wildebeest over a fire. And that's about my second favorite wild game I've ever had in my life.
So what would you compare wildebeest to maybe in the US if you could compare it to something?
Oh, just like the most tender cut of steak you've ever had in your life. I don't know. Just it, like if you could cross a Krispy Kreme donut with like a T-bone steak, it was like that.
Nice. There's probably a county or state fair somewhere where that's happened. So,
oh, I'm sure there is.
Texas.
So, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Grant. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Grant Stewart. I'm the COO for Infinite Outdoors. I'm kind of along with Sam. I mean, kind of, especially now. I grew up in Southlake, Texas, which is a suburb outside of Dallas, Fort Worth, and then lived there my first 18 years through high school and everything, and then actually came up here to Colorado, and that's where I'm at now. Went to School of Mines there in Golden, Colorado, and then Sam actually showed me the ropes to Western hunting, and now I've been hooked on it, and actually did some guided hunts this year, which was a blast. Did 100% success. I have one more late season mule deer hunt here in December, but now I actually reside here in Stratton, Colorado, which is on the Eastern Plains. It's about my favorite place ever. I mean, there's always something to do out here. There's always something to hunt, but got pheasant season starting on Saturday, so I'm pumped about that. That's my favorite type of hunting. I mean, there's nothing better than good old pheasant hunting, walking 15 miles a day. But anyways, I guess going into a type of game that I love, I mean, pheasant. I actually found this new recipe, and I'm excited to try it with pheasant, but it's like this. My girlfriend actually found it because I'm doing keto, trying to lose some weight after my playing days. I was 315 at my heaviest, and now I'm about 255. But I'm doing keto, so no carb, and trying to eat as much wild game as I can. But at least what I found is this, like, creamy Tuscan, in this case pheasant, would be delicious with it, but you can do it with chicken or shrimp. And all it is you got to, I mean, just cook the pheasant, chicken or shrimp. You can dice it up or leave it whole, however you want to do it. Just with some olive oil and salt and pepper. In another pot, all you got is some broccoli, some diced up cherry tomatoes, and some onions diced up as well. And then a little bit of olive oil. And then once those are browned and cooked, then throw some heavy cream in there, and then a little bit more salt and pepper, and then just mix the two together. And I mean, it's phenomenal. I was like, this has got to be one of the best things I've ever had. I've eaten it four nights in a row now. So
awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that recipe with us. That's it sounds pretty good. I'm going to have to give that a try.
Damn good.
For sure. I imagine it would probably taste good with red meat too. I bet.
Oh, I bet. I mean, yeah. That thing, it makes everything taste good. So try it with some venison too. Hell
yeah. We had a little conversation with you guys before we started recording about some of thoughts that we may have on wild game consumption as it relates sort of to athleticism. And obviously we all know that wild game is super nutritious. I'm curious to have a little chat about this and see where you guys stand with this thought that you brought up.
Yeah, no, I can expand on that a little bit. So, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about myself, but, one thing that's kind of unique about, you know, Infinite Outdoors and our whole, you know, pretty much the entire management is the majority of us were actually, college athletes. So just speaking specifically with a couple other guests here is, you know, Grant was an All-American college lineman when he was in college, and you know, ate almost nothing but wild game meat. And then I also played, like Grant alluded to it, Colorado School of Mines, and was running back there and had a successful enough career. And I mean, I haven't bought meat in a decade, so it's I think there's got to be some correlation there between that growing up and living off of that just lean, healthy protein and really getting the most out of your body and really being able to take it to the next level.
I think it's pretty awesome, especially too, like you look historically and you know, wild game has served so many niches throughout history and so many different types of people all across the world. You know, we'll talk like even more expensive wild game to say like just North American game, whitetail or whatever, but you're talking all continents everywhere that has wild game. You're looking at these traditional civilizations eating that and it fitting the needs of whatever activities they're doing and even that evolution over time. So I think it's a pretty rad thought. And I could agree. I agree with it and I could see it as well. Is a great way. I mean, it's been shown that, you know, wild game is better for us, but also holds more, you know, vitamins and minerals than standard, you know, farm raised, depending on what agriculture practices are involved. But yeah. It's a good thought. I like it. So definitely pretty cool. I guess my question sort of along the lines, and feel free to jump in if you have any questions about nutrition and whatnot, because I know you do.
Well, I think it's really interesting. You know how people say, a lot of people that come from the Midwest, you know, corn-fed boys, you know, big linebackers. You see those athletes coming out of there, or Texas especially. But a lot of those Midwestern states and even your Southern states have a big diet of wild game that I think a lot of people just don't attribute athleticism to. And even the practice of hunting, I mean, we're all Western game hunters here, and that's an athletic process in itself. Mm-hmm. So I think even the hunting of wild game as well as the consumption is just a really healthy practice. It's a healthy sport, both mentally and physically.
Couldn't agree with you more, Will. I think that the outdoors definitely helps shape you, physically challenging a lot, and you get into some unique circumstances where you're both growing in your physical ability, but also super uncomfortable.
I think like 95% of the time I'm probably uncomfortable, either cold, either too cold or too hot or tired.
But yeah, crawl a half mile through the snow just to watch the mule deer you're going after walk away.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I had Will's laughing looking at me. We my mule deer season came to a sad ending, but I shot a mule deer on the last day and probably it's my own fault, poor shot placement or the determination of the mule deer to survive, and we ended up blood trailing it for several miles before the blood trail disappeared and there was no mule deer to be found. So yeah. Feel your pain. But while we're on the topic of recipes, I do have a couple that I want to talk about, and you guys feel free to comment on them as you see fit. Feel free to thumbs up or thumbs down them. So first is an elk steak pie, and this is from one of our new riders, Victoria. She just recently joined the team, and she's a trained chef like myself, and she lives down in Louisiana, which is actually where I trained as a chef as well. She came up with this really amazing recipe. And it's like a kind of a, I say pie, it definitely looks like a mix between like a sweet pie and a savory pie. And it's not like a hand pie, it's like in a dish and baked. But to sort of go into it a little bit, it uses elk round steaks, some pie crusts. I think in most cases, unless you're a super proficient baker, I think it's okay to source pie crusts from the store. I'm not a huge baker, so that's generally what happens. And then it's got a bunch of really great vegetables, potatoes, portobellos, sweet potatoes, wild rice, which I'm a huge fan of. Wild rice, not the same as regular rice. Did you know that?
100%.
Yeah. Also, regular rice has arsenic in it. Did you guys know that? Like a lot of, yeah. So that, yeah. So, you know, they always say to wash your rice before you cook it. So that's one of the main reasons. So there's like a threshold, a legal trace amount of arsenic that's allowed to be in rice. And some rices have to be tested regularly. And if the manufacturer, the grower can't lower the arsenic levels enough to where it's safe for consumption, then they don't, you know, they obviously can't sell those batches of rice. But yeah, that's why it's a big, big step to always wash your rice, because you get rid of sort of that extra arsenic. There's a whole, we could go down a rabbit hole. I was doing a lot of research last week on this, but wild rice, even though we call it wild rice, is like, is biologically different than the standard rice that you see in the store, be it long grain, short grain, medium grain, whatever.
So like short story, eat wild game, eat wild rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild rice.
Or
wild
game. Boom. Or just go keto.
Or just, yeah. So that would be a question for you, Grant. Does wild rice fall within the realm of keto? Because I think it's like closer to a seed than it is an actual, I don't know.
It's a good question. Just depends if it's got carbs in it or not. I'm over here eating eggs and bacon for every meal right now, so. Or deer.
So as we quickly digress, the recipe, just to close it out, it's really awesome. You kind of throw all the crust in there, and then you're par cooking everything together, and then using your pie dough to seal it all in. Throw it in the oven for about 40 minutes at 350, and you get a nice, hearty meat pie, elk pie, which is really great, especially this time of the year when temperatures are starting to drop, more so where you guys live than where we live. But, you know, I think we hit a low today of like 75, so things are looking good in the future.
Must be nice.
Yeah, right.
Well, it was a high of 85, so still sweating, unfortunately. But all right, another good one, and this one's actually Chase Waller. He's one of our riders from down here in Florida, and it's a coconut fish stew. And so one of the cool things about the coconut fish stew is it's very generic in the fish that you can use. You can use just about any kind of white fish to prepare it. It actually looks really great. I haven't tried it yet. It's on my list. It's very closely resembles a Brazilian moqueca, which is a type of soup they consume in Brazil.
And I'd love to try this with like a redfish, that real meaty.
Yep.
Kind of throw it in there, especially down here in Key West. I mean, coconut and fish is some of our staples down here.
So this whole thing, you just kind of, you create a stock first. And I really like this recipe because Chase uses the entire fish. So he takes the head, the skeleton, the carcass, all that other stuff, and creates a stock, and then makes a stew out of it and mixes in all the other ingredients, including unsweetened coconut milk, with a red bell pepper and garlic and onion and the fish stock. The cool thing about fish stocks are, because it's a considered like a light stock, you don't roast them, and you can generally cook them in about 15 to 20 minutes because you don't want to stew the ingredients for super long. So that's pretty straightforward recipe. Just kind of need two pots, and one pot for stock and one pot for all your other stuff, and off you go. But we're kind of mixing up the order we talk about recipes and stuff in this episode, just to keep all the listeners on their toes. Because normally we wait till the very end, but we'll do something very different today. But yeah, so now gives us more time to hear about Infinite Outdoors and what you guys are doing in that space. So please tell us more.
All right. Yeah, I'll just kind of give a synopsis of who we are and kind of how we came to be. So essentially, Infinite Outdoors, just to, I don't really like to use this comparison too much since we're so much more, but the best way to conceptualize what we are is like Airbnb for hunting and fishing. So it all kind of started from a pheasant hunting club that I started several years ago out in Eastern Colorado, just as a way to help out some of our farmer friends. They had a great resource, but you know, they weren't hunters themselves. They weren't necessarily being managed. And they also, you know, didn't have any way to make a good income other than some outfitters and other club organizers that, you know, honestly just took advantage of them as well as the hunters. So when out there, I'm like, yeah, just let me help you out with this in return. Just, you know, let me keep hunting on your land. And, you know, that started with just a few thousand acres and then grew to, you know, does like, you know, 12,000 acres. And then it got up to like 60,000 acres, just in a matter of years from word of mouth, cause we're treating them right. And then we're also having something that the outdoorsmen really wanted. So it kind of got to a point where it wasn't something that I could just control in my free time. I couldn't just be taking all these phone calls and throwing everybody out there. So kind of had the idea, Grant, and I started working, and you know, we realized we went to School of Mines, just an entirely engineering school, and like, we got some buddies that are a heck of a lot smarter than us, and we can really make a platform to help out all of these hunters and fishermen as well as these landowners. And so we put them to work. You know, I believe we started on this like last December or January, and they went to work full time building out this platform that could facilitate easy bookings of hunting and fishing trips, while Grant and myself went out and spread the word to all of our landowner contacts and really got everything in motion, and then, you know, reached out to our other friends like Corbin, the biologist, the other really missing pieces that we needed in order to do this right, to be able to advise all of the landowners and whatnot. So then it came together this spring, and I mean, it just grew like wildfire. I think now we're north of 150,000 acres, miles and miles of water. Currently we're all in Colorado, but we're poised already to expand, have 10,000 acres lined up in Kansas, some properties in Nebraska and Wyoming all together. And really the whole mission was to actually provide that access to really quality hunting and fishing opportunities without just completely breaking the bank. And by kind of cutting out those outfitter middlemen and everything, it allowed people to easily go over, hunt and fish themselves without bumping into 500 of their closest buddies on like the rest of Colorado's public land. And at the same time, the landowners, because they make the lion's share of every single hunting and fishing trip, they're also way happier than before. So kind of everybody wins. And then I guess one final piece that was always really important to us is we do require that anybody that uses the platform, they're required to pay a $25 membership fee. And whenever you start your membership, you're required to donate 100% of that to a nonprofit or conservation group that we work with, just to really further reiterate our mission of making our hobby and our passion sustainable from generation to generation. So, you know, we partner with Pheasants Forever. Grant and myself, Grant's actually the president, I'm the vice president of Eastern Colorado Pheasants Forever chapter. We partner with, you know, Mule Deer Foundation, Trout Unlimited, all these other organizations as well. So that $25 when you sign up goes to one of those. And then that's the only requirement to get on it. And then after that, you're just pretty much paying right to the landowner, and you have access to some of the best lands in Colorado and soon to be all of the West.
So whenever you mention, I like your analogy using the Airbnb, because it kind of clicks with me, even though you're right. It is much, much more. And I do see you guys doing more than that. I guess I'm curious, like, all right, so I pay my $25, I join in, I go on the app or the website, and I take a look and I find some land that I want to go hunt. Is there certain times and certain lands closed off, or when it's open, is it following seasons? Like,
Yeah. So it's all kind of, I mean, it's kind of multifold. So first and foremost, we do have, and this is the reason why we have Corbin as well as Stefan Wilson, our other biologist who mainly focuses on the hunting. We have certain parameters that we set with the landowners as to the most that a property could ever be hunted based off of those populations, other data available from other biologists in the state on you know, historical harvest rates or population density. So we'll set that for every property too, and we'll say the most that it can be hunted is, say, 3 days a week. And in general, even if we could do more, that's usually would be our cap anyways. Just always make sure it's very, very productive. So that's the first road mark. But then the other, obviously everything follows the seasons. Just because you reserve the land, you can't go out in March and go toast a couple mule deer. But then after that, the big thing is we like to give the landowners control too. So it's actually their land. It's not like they signed a lease to some outfitter and they can't do anything with their land. It's still their land. They make their own schedule as long as it's within those management criteria that we have, and then they just make it available. So you just go onto the property. It all displays much like Zillow would. You get a map screen. You can filter by what you want to hunt or fish for. You can click on that, and that shows up with a map of those available dates that the landowner has set. And from there, you can go in and you can reserve whatever adventure that you wish.
One of the first things that sort of pops into my mind is there's a lot of state wildlife agencies are pushing, or not pushing, they're asking for private landowners to create or join into, like in Oklahoma, we have the Oklahoma Land Access Program. In Wyoming, they have the walk-in areas. They have those. Where do you sit in comparison to those?
Yeah, so I guess first thing to touch on is we love all those programs as well. And I mean, that's a big part of Pheasants Forever funds the Corners for Conservation and are involved with the Colorado Walk-In Program. And money we raise goes directly to that. And actually part of our app is, I don't know if you're familiar with Onyx, but we've been building out now all of the Onyx capabilities. So here in the next few weeks, we're actually going to be all of our users for that same $25, which I think is less than they charge, you get an equivalent to Onyx as well to find your public land opportunities. Cause we love that. We want to support that. But then from a sheer acreage wise, I think we almost have, we're pushing almost as much land in Colorado as the state walk-in program has. So, the only difference is, you know, we have hundreds of users and that has 100,000 people trying to use the same amount of acreage.
So I guess, man, if you're a hunter in Florida, you're poised pretty well. If you're a member of your program as well as getting access to public and walk-in land, so it's good. It's a good time to be a hunter.
What issues have y'all gotten? Are the landowners typically pretty open and forward and wanting to, you know, have their land used for this? How are y'all approaching these situations? Are y'all just knocking on doors? Are y'all looking at, previous hunting records data? Like, how are you finding these landowners to hunt on their property? And then how is that relationship really built? And how does that usually unfold with your organization?
Yeah, I'll start and then I'll let Grant talk more because he deals a lot with our landowner relationships and stuff. But a huge portion of it has honestly just been word of mouth, because we do treat our landowners so right. You know, they make 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much as other outfitters. Only our end user pays a fraction as much. So, I mean, they're ecstatic. They still have control. They're not selling away the rights to their hard earned land that's been in either their families forever that they spend a ton of money on. So there is a surprising amount of organic growth. And then we also look at, people who historically, just from reputations, where there's the people that said they would never lease to an outfitter. So we look for the people that have purposely been burnt by other outfitters or clubs that don't treat them right. Because for us, it's perfect, because we truly do, and we truly started this as a way to look after our landowners. So for them, it's a home run. It's like, oh, I make more, I have total control, and And we also, you know, cover several $1 million worth of insurance for them too, as another courtesy. So that's the big thing. And then Grant will also go out after, after prospects and, you know, and talk to them just in person when we're in other areas, talking with our other fellow landowners. But we like to have that. We like to not really go too far past that one step removed. Like if we know somebody and he says, you know, go talk to so-and-so over here, I'll vouch for you and that kind of stuff. And I'll let Grant speak more if he has anything else to touch on as far as what it's like to do the interactions and some of the feedback from our landowners.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is just, I mean, word of mouth, like Sam was saying, there's a lot of people that I kind of know through one connection or two connections, just through someone else, and somehow get linked up with them. A lot of it's just sending out pamphlets and letters, you know, introducing the idea to those landowners, just getting them familiar with what we do and how it can benefit them and how we're different. We aren't a hunting club or a fishing club or an outfitter. I mean, we're completely different from that. They still have complete control over their land, and then they can list it for hunters or fishermen or anglers to come out and use their land, and then they make the lion's share of the profit, like Sam said originally. So, like I actually just got up. I've got a couple other meetings coming up, but like Sam kind of mentioned, I mean, just through other landowners out here in Eastern Colorado, I've got a meeting with a landowner who has 10,000 acres over in Kansas for upland and mule deer and whitetail and all that good stuff. And then just got another landowner who has 42,000 acres out here in Eastern Colorado. And then there's a handful of other landowners in this area out here in Eastern Colorado that have, I mean, tens of thousands of acres and no one does anything with it. And they just haven't ever wanted to give it. They just don't want to give it to an outfitter because they still want control. They've got family that hunts, or, you know, they've got kids or whatever it may be, or friends, you know, coming in from Denver, especially out here, that they still want to allow to hunt, but then they can manage it to where they allow people to come out and pay, and they make the money for doing that. But
nice. I really like the involvement, sort of that level, like you mentioned earlier, Sam. It goes beyond just sort of like a booking or reservation service. You guys are sort of vested in each property you work on and create, seems like, a pretty tight relationship with the landowner and then even the land. So
I love the priorities y'all set. It's almost like landowner, and then the hunter or the angler. And I love that because it's definitely the inside out approach. Usually everybody's about the hunter and shooting the trophy animal or catching the big fish. And I think y'all are doing it right. And it's definitely got longevity in the program, and it puts that conservation up front. And I really like that.
I mean, we've been blessed to be in the situation too. And I know a lot of people, like, they have to make ends meet. So it's more like they create something out of necessity for money. Whereas we've always worked backwards. Like I said, it was just, was trying to help them out. I had some time for my day job, and it's like, I'll just help them first. And it's just, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg. And now we're here, building it out. And if nothing else, we're building it to help out our friends, whether those landowners or other hunters. And, you know, at some point, if it gets to the level where we have 5 million acres and the entire country's there, you know, then we might have some decent margins. But for now, we're looking after everybody else, and we're hoping that doing the right thing is going to eventually pay off down the road and keep this thing growing.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovis.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You think this is something that, like, new hunters could get involved in? Like, this would be a good space for them to sort of dabble in to find extra access points out and about?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think that's probably one of our main targets is, I mean, it really is just so hard to truly get into good hunting and fishing. And I think that's always been a turnoff to new people because they go somewhere, they're already inhibited by the lack of game on that property. And then they have so many other people also hunting it. And that's part of our mission is to really be a gateway into this entire sport, lifestyle, passion by opening those doors. And that's why, like we alluded to earlier, it's required that you donate to a conservation group or nonprofit. And that specifically is we're partnered with Colorado Youth Outdoors, and their entire mission is getting kids and stuff into hunting and fishing, and they do all these programs. And we used to always volunteer for that. We would take these kids on waterfowl hunts, help coordinate some pheasant hunts. But I also wanted to be able to provide something that's kind of the next step, because I still saw these kids that they're going out, they're having a blast, they're learning all this stuff, and then they're cut loose, they're outside of the program, and they start going to your state walking areas. And I can't speak for other states, but in Colorado, it is an absolute madhouse. Like public land duck hunting, I used to show up at 9 o'clock the night before, sleep in my truck, and we'd still pack in 27 dozen decoys just to have like a shot at it. And now these kids that just learned from this program, they got those first steps and the core skills under their belt. Now they have the opportunity to go on to somewhere where they're actually going to have success. They're going to be able to build that passion and get over that hump to make it a lifestyle and not just a one-time fad. That's also why I forgot to mention this, but all youth are 50% off. If you're under 13, you're free. So that again, just another mission I want to go to. I know that's a little more specific than just the first time hunters, but obviously your mm-hmm. youth are often your first time hunters and your new hunters. It all kind of rolls up into one.
I think it definitely takes that intimidation point of, you know, back in the day, like rolling up at somebody's door and being like, "Hey, can I go hunt your field back there?" And then it's like, I don't know. some intimidation factors, even as an adult or a seasoned hunter, of like rolling down somebody's driveway to, you know, hopefully get permission to hunt. But
yeah,
well, it's good. What challenges have you faced and overcame, and any major ones you see in the future that you want to battle through? Or, I mean, nobody wants to battle through a challenge, but that's really pushed through.
Yeah, no, I mean honestly, it's gone fairly well so far. I mean, just most recently, I would say that the biggest hurdles are kind of, I don't know, they're real small and on an individual level, but we do provide, I mean, we are a DIY service. We are not an outfitter. We are just providing access to, you know, what we consider very good land because it's all been vetted through our biologists, our own experience. But we have had some people specifically for like big game where they, you know, like they would come out, only had experience on guided hunts over feeders down south or something, and then go to an open plains eastern mule deer hunt, you know, thinking that it's going to be the same. And it's not. It's still, you're not going to see other people because you know, you get thousands of acres to yourself and you make a reservation with us, but it's still DIY. Like, we're not going to show up out there. We're not going to point you to where they're at. You got to do it. So that has been a struggle is trying to market to the right crowd that still knows what to expect, knows how to hunt or fish, and wants to do it for themselves versus expecting unrealistic things. And I mean, that being said, the same people that complain that they weren't, you know, essentially guided right to it, Grant turns around and they shoot four massive bucks the next week when he was assisting people through partnering with an outfitter that we do work with, because he understands it. So that's been the biggest hurdle, but that's such a minority. So many people are just ecstatic that they can have quality land and love that they can actually hunt by themselves for, instead of having to pay exorbitant prices to have somebody hold their hand. So it's been good overall. I'm glad to say I don't really have too many other hurdles or obstacles that I complain about.
So seeing as the challenges y'all were talking about were pretty cool, and just kind of looking ahead, how are y'all, you mentioned a lot of nonprofits helping out with the youth hunters. Are y'all doing any other sort of activities? I know you're not an outfitter, but are you organizing anything else with other support organizations that are for conservation and getting other people out in the field to hunt?
Yeah. So actually one of our preferred nonprofit partners is American Heroes in Action. They're based here in Colorado, but what essentially their mission is, they take first responders, veterans or military members out on, you know, whether it be guided or DIY hunts and fishing trips all throughout the place. I mean, I think they've been in 38 states where they've done, you know, hunting or fishing trips all throughout. I think this year they did a moose hunt up in Maine. Well, I guess they have like broccoli fields up there, and they give out broccoli damage tags. I don't know. Please tell me about it. They give out damage, you know, permits or hunting tags through damage permits or whatnot. So they actually got a couple guys went out and shot a couple of moose up there, which is pretty damn cool. But we raised 1,200 pheasant, pin-raised pheasant out here in eastern Colorado. We actually donated the lodge and our land and some birds for them to come out. They're doing a trip together, and we're supporting that trip, being able to come out here. And, you know, we actually have a hunting lodge here, which is where I'm at right now, but they'll come out here and just be able to get a group of 10 guys or so and just be able to enjoy life and, you know, share stories about their time that they served in the military, and then just be able to enjoy the night before and then go out and do some hunting the next day and just enjoy life of the great outdoors. So
that's awesome. Thanks for facilitating that. That's like I said earlier, we're a big fan of the veteran support organizations. So that's really good. What's the all right, time to come down to the nitty gritty. So what's the I guess the even more nitty gritty. What's the best way for people to reach you? They have questions, one, and then where do they go to sign up to join?
Yeah, so to contact us, we actually have a support function through our website that you can reach us, our in-house developers, which I haven't talked about them enough. Got to do a quick plug, but we have, you know, we're very unique in that we actually have in-house developers that just do a fantastic job. So I want to throw them their credit. They're obviously founding members of this business as well. But you can get onto that website at infiniteoutdoorsusa.com. You know, that has instructions right on that landing page how to join. You get through, you can press join now, get your profile made, do your donation to conservation, then you have full access to that whole website, the mobile app and everything there. It's always a little button you can press to send us a message, and we'll always get back to you that same day. And then obviously we're on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. And that's just Infinite Outdoors, or the Infinite Outdoors Project is how we will appear on your social media feeds.
Sweet. Well, so we always reserve sort of the ending time for like a final round, a last thought, alibis, any last notion. So I'll hit you guys one by one with it, and don't feel obligated to provide one, but if you got a good thought, please do share. So Grant, what you got for us?
Well, I'm just excited for this waterfowl season. We've got the Front Range waterfowl season starts up on November 21st. And we've got a dozen pits throughout the Front Range and then through Northeast Colorado and a couple different water properties that are, we actually, two of our properties where we've got pits are actually within inside the city limits of Greeley, Colorado, and had to get a special permit to be able to hunt inside the city limits. So those will be kick-ass properties. Excited to hunt them myself, certainly. So. But, I mean, other than that, and then, like I said, pheasant season starting up on here on Saturday, which I'm pumped about too, which the way we actually do our pheasant properties, we split it up into 2,500 to 3,000 acre sections for you and your party only is kind of how that works. And so we're booked up for the first weekend. So pretty pumped about that. And just excited to start doing some hunting myself. I mean, pheasant season is the best time of the year. It's like Christmas for 2.5 months.
Nice. All right, Sam, what you got, man?
All right. No, I just want to just touch on the you know, wild game as a source of food a little bit more, and really thank you guys for what you do and the service you provide, because there's one thing that really drives me crazy. It's when I hear people complaining like, oh, wild game, that, you know, that's gross, or I had this elk and it was disgusting. Like, no, you just didn't cook it right. So the fact that there's people that are actually know what they're doing, and that people care about really, really sharing and you know, learning what to do with their harvests from nature is, I think that's huge. And again, something that we provide to help make those bounties more plentiful if you're in the Colorado area. So thank you guys and everybody else. Keep at it. Wild game's amazing. If it doesn't taste good, it's probably your fault.
Yes, that's the most direct. You know, maybe the next t-shirt.
In podcast here.
Well, I'll give Will last chance. I almost gave my last thought. But go ahead.
I think y'all have an awesome organization. I think you've got share a lot of the values, if not all the values, that we have over here at Harvesting Nature. And mm-hmm. It's a real pleasure to talk to y'all. I hear in the passion that you'll have for this. And, you know, I think this is a sustainable resource and making these relationships so that people can harvest in nature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look forward to talking to y'all in the future.
Yeah. Probably get a couple new members just tonight. No, definitely it's a great conversation. I appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk with us. It was I'm excited. Things like this really excite me because it's it shows that as traditional as hunting and angling is, it's also progressive in many ways. And I appreciate that fact for continuity reasons. I mean, what you guys are doing is, it's pretty invaluable. You know, I joked about it earlier, but it's like it takes a lot of the intimidation factor out, and it's like you're helping everyone. Everyone's benefiting from this, you know, this software, your website and service. So it's something really great to see. So I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I want to see it grow and be successful even more so than it already is. So thanks for coming on and let us know if there's anything we can help to push it into the future. So
thank you guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, go over and give these guys a follow on social media. Like they mentioned, go check out their website, Infinite Outdoors. And as always, our show notes will be online, so we'll link all these things we've discussed. If they're linkable, they'll be there. And then once you're done checking their social media profiles out, if you're not following us, which you should be, go do that. And then last thing, go subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Smash that 5-star button and tell us what we're doing wrong. Tell us what we're doing right.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.